We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Michigan comes away from Piscataway with a triple overtime 48-42 win. We're going to get a chance to talk to Jim Harbaugh, Cade McNamara, Chris Hinton, Josh Ross. A lot to break down in this game here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
A lot of time, looks, throws deep in the end zone. That ball is intercepted. Michigan wins the football game 48-42 with a stop in triple overtime.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We're going to get to the player sound in just a little bit, but first, let me bring in Brian Bush.
John, this was ugly at times, this was frustrating at times, but we've experienced some of that the last three games, and those were losses. You're okay with cleaning stuff up after wins, and well, that's what Michigan gets to celebrate here for the first time since the opener. It just has to feel like a relief, like a burden has been lifted off these guys' shoulders.
Well, it does. I mean, any win is a good win, and you can look back at this game and you can say, well, they didn't start off the way they wanted to. They were down 17-0. They went into halftime. They missed opportunities to score touchdowns. They missed opportunities to score field goals. They came out in the second half, and what a great way to start the second half, right? Giles Jackson takes the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, and then the defense lets up a four-play drive for a touchdown. And it just felt like every time Michigan got something going, there was something that took that excitement away until you get to the end of the game and Michigan just continued to fight all night long. And it just, you're right, it does. It's not perfect, but it feels a lot better to win a game than it does any other situation.
When you talk about the young, inexperienced players on this team in any rung of football, especially at the college level, you get experience and that's great, but when you get experience in a win, that helps even more. For the, dozens of young, inexperienced players pressed into duty on this team, boy, it has to help them to know, hey, our hard work, our tough times are turning into a win here.
Yeah, it's encouraging. And you just want to make sure that just because you won, it doesn't cover up all of the things that you need to identify to continue to work on. There are things, obviously, on the offensive line and protection and run game that they need to get better on. There's things on the defensive side of things, things with the quarterback position. There's a lot to continue to improve upon, but it feels a heck of a lot better to do that after a win than it does a loss.
Cade McNamara, 27 of 36, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns. He adds a rushing touchdown in overtime. I know it's Rutgers. I know it was off the bench, so they, you know, this is a Rutgers coaching staff that was not prepping primarily or exclusively for McNamara, but you can't help but come away impressed with what you saw.
He was consistent, and he was accurate. You know, 26 of 33 in regulation. So he came in, and he did exactly what he needed to do. He didn't go out there and necessarily light the world on fire. You know, 260 yards of passing, you're looking at that going, yeah, that's good. It's not outstanding. but it was good enough, and to be able to come in and distribute the ball and just be accurate and give your receivers a chance to catch the ball. The long touchdown to Cornelius Johnson. I mean, it's and nothing against Joe Milton, but we've seen that a number of times, and he's just overthrown him. This was an opportunity for Cade to come in, just like he did last week against Wisconsin. And I've talked about this all week. He put enough loft under the ball. He gave the receivers an opportunity to go make plays. And it's just, I guarantee you, Cornelius Johnson wants that one touchdown pass that he dropped in overtime, I believe it was. Sure. He'd like that one back. But that's another one of those things where a young player can learn from something that will make him better and it will make him a great player in the future.
One of the storylines we followed throughout this season, who would assume maybe not the workhorse back, but the primary role at running back, and Hassan Haskins seemed to have staked his claim to that in the second half and overtime.
Yeah, I mean, today, 22 carries, 110 yards, and it was in overtime is where it was really impressive. I know it was the first overtime where he got 9 yards on the first carry, and it felt like he was just carrying the entire Rutgers defense along for the ride. And the same thing in the third overtime, he would just carry that Rutgers defense, and it was pure grit. It was everything. He was going to refuse to lose. And we have been waiting for somebody to have that just moment and that excitement, that determination, and hopefully it permeates throughout the whole team. Obviously, it was enough to get the job done today. Now, what does it mean moving forward?
He steps up. You think about all the pass catchers who made big-time plays. Cornelius Johnson overcoming the early fumble to come up with 2 touchdowns, 105 yards receiving. Nick Eubanks and Mike Sanra still a touchdown. Eric All, who's been plagued with some drops, made some tough catches today. And, of course, Giles Jackson, 4 for 50, plus the kickoff return. A lot to like on that side of things.
It is. And there's, you know, you can look over the past three games, and are there drop balls? Are there big-time plays that we left on the field? Sure there is. But, you know, the resiliency that Coach Harbaugh talks about that he sees in his team, we all saw it tonight because there was a fumble early, and then Cornelius Johnson comes back and has the 2 touchdown catches that you already talked about. Nick Eubanks, Eric All, it was great to see him. And how about the accuracy that McNamara had? I mean, he thread the needle a couple of times to Eric All, and it just gives these guys the confidence that, hey, now they can watch it on film and they can see what it looks like, what it feels like, and they can play that visualization game moving forward because it's something that's palpable that they can feel and they can see.
Defensively, Rutgers comes up with 482 yards. That final drive of regulation, certainly frustrating. Some ups, probably some more downs. What'd you see on the defensive side?
Well, it's frustrating when you give up third down conversions, especially when it's a team that has been very bad at third downs. And tonight, in the first three quarters, Rutgers was not great on third downs. And that last drive, you know, you've got a quarterback that's just making plays, and you're playing against a team that has nothing to lose. That's a fact that has to be played in as well. And a fourth down conversion, and then in the overtime, obviously they make a big play by the tight end that blocked, and then all of a sudden he's got a screen set up and he goes in for a touchdown on the very first play of the second overtime. So there are definitely a lot of things that need to be worked on, but this is also a defense that has been ravaged by injuries, and they lost Cam McGrone tonight. They lost Brad Hawkins tonight. You know, we don't know the extent of those injuries yet, but I thought that Josh Ross, you know, led the team in tackles with 11 total tackles, 6 of those solo, had a tackle for loss. He did a great job of stepping in and being a leader that you would expect him to be on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, the previous couple of games, there was nothing you could really hang your hat on defensively. I know it's 42 against Rutgers, albeit triple overtime, but that's not going to get it done in most situations. But it does feel like you can latch on to some things from this game, which is better than what we've seen.
Well, you can latch on to the fact that it was a win. I mean, that's the major part, and it's really the only stat that ever matters. But now you got to say, okay, well, how do we beat Penn State? How do we beat Maryland? How do we compete with Ohio State? That's where you've got to start trying to find ways to put more pressure on the quarterback. You have to find ways to be more disciplined up front in trying to stop the run. Those are just some things that you can work on in practice, and then hopefully against Penn State next week, those are a little bit better. And then Maryland the week after that, that's a little bit better.
What do you do with this with the kicking game? I mean, 2 of 8 now on field goals. Quinn Nordine, 0 for 3. I know your first answer is make the kicks, but if they're not going in, I mean, do you change your philosophy a little bit on when you kick and when you don't?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a coaching decision. And you know what? It's sometimes if your kicker doesn't have confidence and you don't have confidence in your kicker, you've got a way going forward on fourth downs, you know, in the situation of the game. And at some point, you know, you've got to find a way, whether it's in practice or early in games, to get some confidence in Quinn Nordine, and he's got the leg, you know, and one of these wasn't even his fault. There was a bad snap. So you got to go back and you got to work on the basics, and it's just, hey, snap, hold, set, kick, all of those things, and just continue to rep it. And hopefully, you know, the kickers find their confidence and they find the uprights.
Okay, let's get to the interviews. First up, here's John with head coach Jim Harbaugh.
It's been a long 3 weeks. It was an emotional game, overtime victory. You came, you know, started off 17 down, fought your way back. How good did it feel to sing the victors in the locker room after the game?
Oh, great. It'll be a happy flight tonight. Just appreciate the players played their hearts out, coaches coached their heart out.
Yeah, we mentioned you were down 17-0. What was it like on the sideline? What was the difference in what type of drive did you see in your players to be able to come back?
Yeah, I mean, there were some guys that you know, left the field with nothing left. I mean, they left it all out there. It was very inspiring.
Cade McNamara comes in and leads everybody back to victory. Just talk about his performance and what you saw from him.
Yeah, it was a gritty performance. And, you know, he came in executing right off the bat, led us on a big drive, which got momentum back for us when we were down 17-0 and got us on the scoreboard and really played terrific the whole night. I mean, gritty and executed extremely well.
You've been hit with the injury bug. Obviously, coming into the game, there was a number of guys that didn't even make the trip, and then Cam McGrone goes down, Brad Hawkins goes down. You've got a number of guys that have had to step up. Just talk about the resiliency and the opportunity that these guys have had to get in there and play and make an impact on this team.
Yes, you know, that's as discouraging as anything for a coach to have players get injured. No question about that. That's hard. I mean, speaking as a former player that, you know, went through injury a few times in the career, that kind of thing. You know, it's tough on the guys. And there'll be grueling rehabs ahead, so that's. I know it's part of the game, but it's a hard thing to see. But I know the character of the guys that have been injured; they'll come back even stronger. You know, the second part of your question, yeah, there's guys everywhere that are getting opportunities to play, and you know, really. Really play, you know, really playing well, you know, just, you know, playing hard and praying hard right now as a coach. That, but appreciate the guys so much that are, they came here to play, mm-hmm. and they stepped in, and there's so many guys that you can talk about. I mean, Hassan Haskins, I mean, you know, when I say players were playing their hearts out, you know, they really were, you know. Offense, defense, special teams had a big, huge kickoff return. You know, blocking was tremendous. So many guys. You know, Giles got the ball in the end zone, but there was guys. You know, just sustaining their blocks. You know, it meant, you could just see how much it meant to every guy. Defense. There was a lot of plays tonight. Defense. defense got us the stop in the third overtime. That was huge. And a freshman center, Zach Carpenter. I mean, his snaps were really good all night. He played extremely well. Right next to him, a true freshman guard, and Zach Zinter. You can go right down the redshirt freshman Carson Barnhart. I thought he had a good night. And guys like Ronnie Bell and Cornelius Johnson. But there was, man, how many freshmen and sophomore were out there? I mean, I haven't counted them yet, but there was a lot for sure.
What was the message to the team after regulation? I know it was disappointing that Rutgers came down and scored to tie things up. You had to go into overtime. But what was the message to the team going into overtime?
Yeah, it never matters how you get to overtime. You're in overtime, and you got to – we got an opportunity. Whether we were ahead and they came back and tied us, or whether we were behind and we came back and tied them, it's the same. And you gotta dig down, dig even deeper, and come up with the resolve. And our guys really did that. You know, this is just great to see the boys having fun and playing. Everything we've been, just praying for, really, that the talent that the good Lord has bestowed on these guys, that they would it would shine tonight, and it did.
How do you build on this one?
Our goal was to be 1-0 this week, and that'll be what we'll be striving for next week, and can't be 2-0 until you're 1-0. So second half of the season, you can tell. I mean, our resolve is high, strong, the players proved that tonight, and everybody was just really proud of them.
Well, Coach, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time. Congratulations, and safe travels on the way home.
Thank you. It'll be a happy flight tonight.
It sure will be. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
Now to our player interviews, and we begin with the quarterback, Cade McNamara. He's with Doug Karsh.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. And Cade, first of all, congratulations. Pretty exhilarating win, I'd say. How'd it feel?
Oh, good. A little beat up, but it feels great to just get that W.
Okay, well, you come into a 17-0 game, and you lead them to a touchdown drive on your first possession. Take us through that throw to Cornelius Johnson.
Well, they actually brought a pressure that we hadn't practiced all week. They brought the boundary corner and the front side Sam. And it left court CJ one-on-one with the safety. And I don't think the safety was expecting him to run a post. And, CJ did a great job of getting off contact and me being able to just put it on. And I think really the main factor of that play was Zach Charbonnet. He came off the mesh and he had a huge pickup. And it saved the play.
You had a drive that resulted in a missed field goal right before the half where the clock basically ran out on you guys. Maybe you go for a touchdown there. You scored four touchdowns in your first six drives, the one that was the missed field goal. The second touchdown, that little floater to Nick Eubanks. What did you see on that play?
That was a game plan play. We repped that all week. We thought that we can get Nick one-on-one with the outside backer. And if I was just able to hold on to the ball and buy him some time, he can either get by him or I can give him a chance to make a catch. And I lofted it. He did a great job of coming out with a big, strong catch when we needed him.
Two drives later, a 6-yard touchdown pass to Mikey Sainrist on a little pick play with Ronnie Bell. Take us through that one.
That was actually the second time we ran that play. That was the same play that we ran on fourth down to Chris Evans. It was the exact same concept. And really, that was a great play on Mikey's part and on Chris's part. Those are two big conversions when we needed.
Then the 9-yard touchdown to Cornelius Johnson to put you guys up 35-27. Take us through that one.
Just had a good matchup out there, and Ronnie Bell did a great job. He held his block. It gave CJ a chance to get around the edge.
Then you get an overtime. Second overtime, you score on a QB keeper. We hadn't seen you run it a whole lot, and you got it in the end zone. Maybe a little element of surprise. Take us through that play.
Same thing, just reading the end, and Giles did a great job of holding the block long enough just for me to be able to put a move on that guy and just get over him. Just like a testament, just a great drive, and it's good that we're finishing drives right now.
You go 27-36, 260 yards, four touchdowns throwing, one on the ground. Are you even a little bit surprised?
Not really. I'm just more happy that we got the W tonight.
And when your defense gets the stop they finally needed in triple overtime, what were you thinking?
They stepped up when we needed them. And no matter what the score is, when we needed them, they delivered.
Cade McNamara, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
Now to the defensive side. Here's Doug with Christopher Hinton.
Chris, let's just start with the overall feeling in the locker room. It's been a while since you guys got to sing the victors after a win. How did that feel?
Oh, great. Getting back to what we're used to doing, winning and celebrating after the game. Like I said, it feels great to be 1-0 this week, and we're going to be looking to be 1-0 next week.
Early in the game, you beat their guard pretty bad for your first sack. Take us through that play.
Man, so on that play, I had a slant to the B gap. The guard looked light, so I knew he was going to pull in our pass setting. So I just shot my guns and I hit home. He was excited.
At the end of the first quarter and into the second quarter, they scored on three straight possessions to go up 17-0. And then you guys shut them down for the most part till right at the end. What happened when you guys were able to force so many punts, field goal attempts, and just the one touchdown from the middle of the second quarter into the fourth quarter?
You're saying why were we so successful?
Why were you successful in the middle portion of the game?
Like I said, I mean, this defense, we keep fighting. Just forgetting about what happened in the next series, making tweaks here and there, and then going out on the field in the continuous drives and just executing.
I'm sure you would rather won it in regulation. Their last drive at the end of regulation, they converted some third and longs, the fourth and long at the end, the two-point conversion. How close did you feel like you were there closing them out, and how disappointing was it not to close out the game right there?
Like I said, I mean, we were this close to closing them out towards the end of regulation. Obviously, it's like, oh, man, we didn't close it out. But, shoot, we had overtime. We got to pick our heads up and move on to the following series or whatever we have next. And I think as a defense, as a team, we did well with that and successful.
You guys playing without a lot of starters and other guys having to make plays. In your final defensive possession, you knew you had to keep them out of the end zone. You guys sniffed out the double pass and diagnosed the wide receiver screen in back-to-back plays to set them up at fourth and long. Can you take us through that sequence?
Honestly, it was so long ago, so sometimes I forget, but we were just out there playing, trusting our keys, trusting our scout report and things like that, and we're able to execute. Like you said, we're able to sniff out their trick plays. We knew they were going to come in and try to do some trick plays here and there, and we were successful.
And when you finally got the stop, the fourth down, the interception by Dax, how'd it feel?
Yeah. It felt great. Got a win, a much needed win. Proud of this team. We were very just stayed down, kept working. So it's a very good win.
And finally, Cade McNamara, what kind of spark did he provide you guys tonight?
Like I said earlier, he came in, he executed. He was able to just go out there and put points on the board. So you saw there was a spark on the offense and defense. I'm proud of Cade. He played very well.
Chris Hinton, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Our final player interview is with Josh Ross.
Josh, let's just start with the feeling in the locker room after this game. It's been a while since you guys have gotten a win, so singing the victors again, how'd that feel?
It feels so amazing. I mean, just coming out of here, you know, fighting our butt off every play, every snap, all the way to triple overtime. You know, like I was saying before, our goal was 1-0, and getting a dub and coming to this locker room felt so good for our team and our program.
I know you don't have time to think about this in the course of the game, but you probably look to your left and all of a sudden you're seeing Adam Shibley, and in front of you is Jess Spate, and behind you is a true freshman, Makari Page, and Hunter Reynolds is on the field in triple overtime. A lot of guys that haven't gotten a lot of playing time had to step up given the injuries. You have a chance to kind of think about how some of those guys played tonight?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they gave it everything they had, and they stayed ready and stayed poised, and I love it. You know, Adam Shibley's one of my closest friends on the team too, and just, you know, see him out there, you know, giving everything he had despite, you know, what happened to Cam, which is so sad, but you know, giving everything we got.
There's a huge sequence in the last overtime, a huge sequence. They had a second and six. They've tried a double pass and you guys diagnosed it.
Yeah.
And then they tried a wide receiver screen, and Vedra had to take a 3-yard loss, setting up the eventual 4th and 9. Talk about, like, is that stuff that's learned in the film room? Do you guys remember that from during the week? Because those two plays consecutively put them behind the sticks and set up the win.
We knew this team was going to do anything in their power to win, any trick play they possibly do, anything in their power. And we just recently, before overtime, we got beat on a wide, you know, block and go. So we knew, like, going into the overtime, we're going to get everything. Like, just stay locked in. Stay on your keys and stay on your man, because any trick play, any screen, anything is possible playing Rutgers this year.
Cade McNamara takes over when you guys are down 17-0, and I know you're over there and Don Brown's diagnosing stuff and writing it up on this chalkboard, but did you get a chance to watch him much and see what he did tonight?
Yes, I was excited, you know, seeing him convert on third down, seeing him make big plays when we needed it most. It was amazing, you know. Just seeing him make big throws, like, he got me up and jumping and screaming. I loved it. And, he played his butt off. I'm trying not to cuss. Stop it myself.
All right, final thing here for you. It looked like this team was really struggling to get going with the losses kind of piling up. How much did you guys need this injection of life, and how much can this carry you now for a couple weeks to try and put some wins together?
It's definitely going to carry us. I mean, we needed life, you know. We gave it everything we had, and we came into this game. Our goal was 1-0, and we're going to give it every single thing we have on that field regardless, because this is the only game that matters this season. You know what I'm saying? So we needed this win, and we came in here and gave it all we had, and we got it.
Josh Ross, thank you for your time. Have a safe trip back.
All right, John, looking ahead to Penn State coming here to Ann Arbor next Saturday. Penn State becoming the first team in the AP era to start in the top 10 and then begin the season 0-5. They lose today pretty convincingly at home to Iowa. It comes out after the game that their star tight end, Pat Freiermuth, is going to have season-ending surgery, so he's done for the year. They've had a ton of losses like Michigan. What are you looking for in that, and what must Michigan do to keep prolonging that Penn State frustration?
Well, this is going to be a game of pride. Obviously, in the program's history at Penn State, they have never started 0-5, which means, you know, they've never been 0-6. So this is going to – and there's a lot of pride in Happy Valley. James Franklin has a lot of pride. That team, they all understand the weight that's on their shoulders. And so what Michigan has to do is compound that. They need to start fast. They need to find a way to make the everybody on the opposite side of the field hang their head and say, oh, we can't – there's just no way we can do this again. The weight of the world's just too much. You have to start fast next week against Penn State.
Feels good. It feels like a relief, doesn't it?
It does. And I tell you what, I am thankful for a win. This is obviously it's Thanksgiving weekend, so there's a lot to be thankful for. And I just, before we go, I want to say thanks to all the fans, Ron Melnick and his group here for at Learfield IMG. You, Brian, for all the work you do. Dave Abeloff, Chad Shepard, for always lining up the interviews. And obviously Tony Butler and Doug and Jim and Dan. It's just, it's a great team to be a part of. Everybody here fills their roles. I'm thankful for everybody, and I'm thankful for, obviously, this win and what it means to Michigan fans.
No doubt. A lot to be thankful for, even during this difficult year of 2020. John, we'll have plenty of stuff coming up on MGO Blue Podcasts, but I know it's a big week for you. It's Turkey Day. Oh, man, we're gonna have some fun breaking that down. I'm just glad that Michigan won, so on our podcast, we can talk about Thanksgiving in a little more jovial light.
Oh, that's right. We'll have some gravy with a side of turkey, with a side of stuffing, and just more and more gravy. So it's a lot to look forward to this week. Plus, the Fighting James Franklins come to town, and we get a chance to kick them into teeth. Let's go.
I want to see the plate with gravy being the prominent and turkey being the side. But we'll get to that later, John. Yes. Great stuff.
Hey, thanks a lot, and go Blue.
Indeed. John Jansen's thoughts after the Wolverines win in triple overtime over Rutgers. Before we go, a programming note for the holiday week ahead. We'll have the radio replay of Inside Michigan Football on Monday night, per usual. We're going to bump up Defend the Block, our basketball-themed episode, Tuesday morning with the season's opening for men's and women's basketball on Wednesday. We'll also have post-game editions like this for football on Defend the Block for every Michigan men's basketball game. Then In the Trenches, our midweek episode, the interview-based one, will be Wednesday this week. Nothing on Thursday with Thanksgiving. Friday, our normal preview episode with John's keys to the game, the radio scene setter, and, of course, John's locker room speech as we get you set for the Wolverines in Penn State coming up Saturday from Michigan Stadium. Can't wait to bring it all to you right here on MGO Blue Podcasts. And Michigan, a winner on Saturday in Piscataway. Triple overtime, 48-42 at Rutgers. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.